Well, come on, everybody. Let's get our act together. There's so many things in today's readings and in this act of worship that are saying to us, come on, get all of this together. Because in that first reading, a little snippet taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which I have to say is one of the denser and more difficult parts of Paul's letters, which is saying something, there's a call from Paul to the people in that young church in Corinth to set their hopes on what it is that God has in store for them. This is part of a long section where Paul is realizing very, very frankly that he is a vulnerable human being among other vulnerable human beings. We're like cracked pots. But somehow the love and the grace and the power of God overcomes that human frailty. But Paul says we have something to look forward to. Outwardly, we are in a kind of decay, but inwardly, something different is happening. Because our physical bodies do what physical bodies do. But God has a wonderful promise in store for us, which is resurrection. And that's something which at the moment we cannot see, we cannot understand. But just as Christ has been raised from the dead, so we also should think of how it is that we look, in the words of the Creed that we say week by week, we look for the resurrection. We expect it for ourselves. But, you know, what Paul doesn't do is to say, now, all you people, you've started to believe in Jesus. That's absolutely great. And one day God will do something special, so all you have to do is sit about and wait. He never says that. Because Paul, in his letters, is very clear that just as we have to have that great hope before us, and it's a hope that's rooted in what we see in Jesus himself, we need to take all of that trust and belief and hope and bring it into what we are doing and what we are about now as the people of God. So we know that one day the physical body that we inhabit, this bag of bones here, we know that one day it will decay. But what we do with it now is important. We know that one day life in Christ will be totally different from life as we know it now. But we are still the stewards of these years that God has given us in this life. And so that's important. You see how we're joining it together? We Christians get this together. We neither think there's this life and that's it, nor do we say this life is worthless, let's just look forward to something else. Yes, there is that promise, but this life now is valuable and precious as well, because we can live as the people of God. And then in the gospel, Jesus has been accused of not being in his right mind, and also of having done some extraordinary and wonderful things, but perversely having done them by the power of evil. So there's a controversy going on. Jesus' family come to him, and he says, but whoever does the will of my Father that person is my mother, my brother, my sister. So what we are offered in that reading, and as the people of God, we are offered the opportunity to have that extraordinary intimacy with Jesus. And that intimacy is something that's marked by prayer. Remember how much Jesus himself was a man of prayer. But also by the way in which we live this life. The way in which all the things that we talk about in the way of faith, all of those things that might come to us through our prayers, all of the things that come to us as we encounter God's way in the Word of the Bible, all of that needs to work on us so that the way we behave, the things that we do, the words that we speak, our stewardship of that thing inside our mouth that so often can go on its own, all of that is something where we can join up, we can put together what we think of in terms of faith and what we do in terms of practical action. This is why Christians do food banks. This is why it's important that in whatever walk of life you happen to be, whether working, retired, studying, or whatever, that there's a join up between that and what it is that you know inside you God is doing. Really see those joined up. So those lessons of Scripture today are encouraging us not to compartmentalize, not to split up the way in which we understand our own being and the way in which we live our lives day by day. Christians don't do that chopping up. We need to see it all joined together. Does that make sense? I'm seeing a couple of nods. Hello. Still awake, that's great. And this act of worship now is so much part of it as well. I know sometimes people can feel that when you come into a time of worship, it's like a kind of refuge from the rest of the world, like a sort of safe cocoon. No, sorry, that's not what this is about. Here, yes, we concentrate on our relationship with God and being the people of God joined together. And that's wonderful. But we don't do it in order to escape from whatever else is happening in our own lives or outside. We do this because, and here's what happens every time we worship in this way, every time we celebrate Holy Communion, every time we have what we call Eucharistic worship, some Christians call the Mass, every time that we have this form of worship, what are we doing? We come together, we acknowledge before God our own inadequacy. Remember how Paul did that as well, and fended off those people who wanted to be kind of super Christians, who thought there's nothing wrong with them. Paul is realistic about that. We too come and we bring before God our own inadequacy and our own failings. But then God meets us in the Scriptures, and then we have this extraordinary intimate experience of taking the tokens of God's love in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And there can be nothing more intimate than actually taking those into our physical bodies. And then it's as if God is taking us and whizzing us about with energy and sending us out into his world to be his people. I'd hope that every time we come to an act of worship and go through the doors, that somehow we feel we're not quite the same people again. If it's done nothing to us, then probably our ears have been shut, or we haven't had that willingness to think of what it is that God is doing, what God is taking us in order to be. Every time we come to an act of worship, sometimes we should be changed. Somehow we should be healed or energized or brought up short with something that we say, yes, actually, I know that in my inner self I need to do something about this. There's a relationship that needs to be sorted. There's a part of me that I know isn't right, but God can bring that healing. God can bring that change. And it's wonderful when we do. So Darren and Laura, you are saying very publicly today your yes to all of this. And that's a reminder to everybody else. All of us who have been baptized, confirmed, that this is what we have said our yes to, or somebody else has said yes on our behalf, maybe when we were very small, too small to know what was going on. You are saying your yes to joining up faith and daily life, what it is you believe and what it is that you do, your life of prayer and your life of action, your relationship with God and your relationship with each other. You're getting it together, and that's wonderful. So we celebrate with you, but we do this because the focus and the center, the heart of all of it is what we see in Christ himself. This is what's unique about Christianity. We don't believe in a remote God, nor are we simply the fans of a dead hero. But we are the people who put our trust in what God has done, sending his Son, fully divine, fully human, the Word made flesh. In him is our hope. And to that hope, we can all say our yes.